Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Tuesday, so that means two for Tuesday. You made two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. Coming up a little bit later on, The Who explode on national television on this date in history. We're going to talk about some other great televised moments in music history. And some other really cool stuff right here for a Tuesday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us for talk and text. So there you go. All right. Right now, though, we would like to welcome back to the show our buddy, Ian Schur, who is editor-at-large, and he does news at CNET.com. And he gives us we get some tech talk with Ian. And there's a lot to talk about here, and it's always a lot of fun to have Ian on the show. Ian, welcome back, man.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Okay, good.
I'm back from paternity leave, and I'm getting back into the groove, and still loving my daughter, so things are good.
Oh, good. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you.
All right, tell everybody a little bit about what you do, and tell everybody about CNET, and then we'll jump right into the tech stuff.
Yeah, so I am an editor-at-large, which means I basically get to write about stuff that really interests me, and typically a lot of that is either stuff around Apple, or I'm really interested in tech policy. I'm really fascinated by how technology is twisted to do bad things, like in disinformation campaigns, and then I'm also really interested in how the tech industry responds to that, right? And that seems to be the story of the last 5 years, and I'm sure it'll be ongoing, so I love writing about that. And then CNET in general is, of course, not just a news site, but we do reviews as well. We're the world's largest tech news and review site, so pretty much if you're trying to figure out, should I be buying that refrigerator with a screen on it that does my calendar, we can tell you whether it's good or not, or we can also recommend the latest phone. So we do it all.
All right. Sounds great. And you join us usually about once a month. And so,
yeah, thereabouts. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, you said Apple. You mentioned Apple. And let's talk about the Apple event for 2019.
Yes.
This is always big news, always a lot of fun. What was the impression? What happened? And what was unveiled?
Yeah. So what was unveiled were the new phones. Shock of shocks. It's called the iPhone 11. Last year's was called the iPhone XS and the iPhone X before that. So fortunately, they keep with naming conventions. They just added one. And one of the interesting things about this year's new iPhones is that they really pushed hard on the cameras. They said that they've got these new cameras in them, among other things, these ultra-wide viewing angle cameras. So you can get really beautiful landscapes in theory. And they also talked about the capabilities for stuff like their portrait mode. You know, that's super popular. They now work with dogs and pets. So if you've got a cat, you really want a portrait mode, you can do that now. I guess I didn't even know you couldn't do it before. And the other thing that they did is that the front-facing camera now has been upgraded as well. It is able to do a slow-motion selfie, or as Apple will be telling you in a lot of commercials on television, the slow-fi. That's the last time I say that word.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, Apple, you know, that was a lot of what they talked about. And what's interesting, of course, is that, you know, how hard is it to sell glass on top of a metal body, like, you know, to come up with something new every year. So that's what they're saying is brand new. Their chips are faster, they've got slightly better battery life, all that other stuff, right? But the real thing is the cameras this year.
That's the big
they also announced.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, go ahead. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, they also announced new watches. The big thing is that the screen stays on all the time, which I think is actually a bigger deal than a lot of us are going to give the credit for, because you know, the fact that my screen turns off now, and when I'm sitting kind of resting my arm on the table, people look at it and they say, oh, look at that Uber nerd and his Apple Watch. But I think when the screen stays on now, people will look at it and say, oh, it's a watch. Oh, that's a techie weirdo watch, right?
Right.
It's going to get a little more watchy and a little less nerdy. And that's, I think, going to be beneficial for them. And then we also found out stuff like pricing for Apple Arcade, which is this video game service where $5 a month, they offer you 100 games that are very family friendly or works for all members of the family. And then also Apple TV Plus, which will have a bunch of shows from Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell and Oprah. So there's a lot that they talked about. And equal marks, you know, a lot of hardware with the phone and the watch, and then also with all this new services that they're trying to do as well.
Okay. And they concentrated a lot on the phones and that. Now, but this the Apple, you were talking about the Apple Arcade. And yes. So they did announce it's $5 a month?
It's $4.99. Let's be fair with okay. that 1 cent. But yes, it's $5 a month. And what I think is really fascinating is that a lot of people were really expecting it to be more. I think the people were expecting more for both that and for Apple TV Plus. And part of it is because $100 games access in this service is not a small number of games. And $5 a month is really not that much to ask when you consider that a lot of people end up spending quite a bit more when they download a free app and then are forced to buy coins or whatever else inside the game to be able to progress through it or whatever. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm curious if Apple is going to attract a lot of people to play Apple Arcade. And part of how they're selling this is not only that it has all these family-friendly elements to it, but that also these are different from those free games that you download, like Clash of Clans. These are very artsy, and they're much more about the game and less about getting you kind of addicted to playing it. And they try to say something. And that's different from a lot of the apps in the App Store. So I'm curious if it will make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how many games are they offering?
Well, they say there's 100 in there eventually. So I'm guessing by the end of the year they'll hit 100. But they say it'll, you know, kind of ebb and flow with time. And they'll add more and blah, blah, blah. They're not the only people doing something like this. Microsoft has a version of the service for their Xbox where you pay... I think it's $15 a month for that plus the PC, or it's I'm trying to remember. I think it's $7 or $9.99 a month for just the Xbox. And same thing, you've got 100 games, you have unlimited access to them. But with Microsoft and with Sony, who has a service as well, is that they have a bunch of older games that you love, right? They've got Red Dead Redemption or Grand Theft Auto or Halo or whatever. And in Apple's service, it's all brand new games. You've likely never heard of them. And that's something different, right? It makes it harder for them to sell it because they can't say, hey, play Halo again.
Right.
They love it.
Right.
They have to convince you to buy these new games that are weird maybe and a little different from what you've been seeing on all the ads. And that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that is unusual. That really is unusual. So
it is. Yeah. And, I have a lot of, I'm really fascinated to see where this goes because I've as one of the techie people, right, who kind of lives and breathes this stuff, I originally looked at it and I said, maybe, sure, okay, we'll see. And I talked to a lot of people. I wrote a story on CNET about this service that, kind of looking at what the future of it is. And one of the things that, in talking to normal people, quote unquote, one of the things I learned was that a lot of people are really interested in this idea of a service where they don't have to worry about whether they have to give their credit card over to their kids to play it and all that type of stuff.
Right.
They really like the idea of one and done, and I've got 100 games. Sure, whatever. Just leave little Johnny alone. And I think that's really interesting. We'll see whether there's a lot more people like that than I think.
Okay. All right. And the event itself, the Apple event, how was it received? Were people they happy about it, how it was presented, and are people excited about the things that were unveiled and how it was done?
I think more and more we have learned that whatever Twitter thinks, the Twitterati, all the
influencers on
Twitter, whatever they think is typically not representative of the rest of the world. I mean, look, a lot of people are not waiting with bated breath for Apple events, right? In fact, you don't have to work very hard to not even know it had happened. But the thing is that a lot of people really are excited by this stuff. For the first time, we got to get some data on how many people watch Apple events. So for the longest time, Apple has streamed it from their website, but there's no counter on there. We don't know how many people are watching. It could be six people, right? We don't know. It's in the middle of a work day. Well, this year they had it on YouTube, and we found out that on YouTube, right, so that doesn't even include Apple's own website, on the YouTube channel, they were hitting up to 2 million people watching concurrently, which is not a small number of people.
I mean, wow.
That is like a serious cable channel, right? And so it was really fascinating to see that. And it kind of reminded me that, you know, whenever people poo-poo, oh, it's unoriginal, oh, it's, you know, they just added an extra thing doohickey to the phone, and now they're trying to sell it again. And we all kind of stick our noses in the air. A lot of people go out and buy it anyway. And I think that that's a reminder that what you and I or anyone else might think of Apple and these events, because we've seen them a million times, a lot of people really are excited and like them. So that's my answer.
All right. All right. And by the way, the piece that you wrote is available at CNET, at CNET.com. And also, people can follow you on Twitter at Ian Scherr. That's I-A-N-S-H-E-R-R, Ian Scherr. Ian, hang on, okay?
Yep.
Okay. Ian Scherr is with us. He is the editor at large, and he does coverage at CNET.com. And we talk tech with him. Much more tech stuff to talk about after we break for the news here on 720 WGN. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline Studio here, downtown Chicago. And yeah, it's a Tuesday morning. Get your requests in, two for Tuesday, one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. That is also the number to call for talk or text. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Nick D Show. A little bit later on, we are going to talk about the Who exploding on national television on this date in history and some of the great televised moments in music history as well. And Paul Rudd's got a doppelganger movie coming out, and we'll talk some doppelganger movies as well. And there's a Will Smith doppelganger movie coming out too. Boy, what do we need? We need two Will Smith now in a movie? Jeez. Anyway, that's coming up. Right now, though, we're talking tech. Ian Scherr joins us usually about once a month. He's an editor at large at CNET.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Ian Scherr, S-H-E-R-R. And we got more tech stuff to talk about. Let's bring Ian back. Ian, welcome back.
Hey, Paul Rudd is that guy ever going to slow down? He looks like he's still 35.
I know.
And now he's doing another.
I don't know what his diet is. I don't know what he's. I don't know if there's some sort of magic formula that he's drinking, but he looks exactly like he did in Clueless.
Exactly. It's crazy. You know, my favorite tech thingy that ever happened with him was that you remember the face app like a couple months ago?
Yeah.
It would age you, right? And it was right. So someone did it to all of the Avengers, right? So they did it to Robert Downey Jr. and it looked okay, and then they did it to you know, a couple of the other ones, and then they did it to Paul Rudd, and he looked exactly the same.
That's about right. I think that's about right. Absolutely. All right. Well, Ian, welcome back. We were talking about Apple. I want to there's a piece that's on CNET right now about iPhone storage, where it just isn't enough anymore. What's that all about?
Yeah, I think a lot of the frustration that exists these days is that, you know, Apple for the longest time has really only offered what we all consider to be the bare minimum of memory in the iPhones. It's really weird. So, you know, when they first came out with the iPhone, they said this is a leapfrog device, right? 5 years ahead of everyone else. But one of the things that they've come up with, the storage on the phones. So for the longest time, they would offer, for example, a 16 or a 32 gigabyte phone, which when you think about it, it doesn't hold that many photos and music anymore compared to what it used to. And there was quite an outcry from the tech industry saying, look, you and I, we don't care, right? We're going to spend the extra on getting the highest end version of the phone and everything. That's not what the point is. When it's entry-level people and people who are just buying the phone that they can only scrape together the $600 for the latest iPhone or whatever, the $700, they are getting cheated in a way for not having enough storage space on there for their photos and their videos. And very soon it gives you an error message that says, hey, upgrade and buy Apple's online storage to back up your photos. You don't have enough space, and it's just not cool. And so one of the things we made a point of at CNET was that today, the new iPhone 11s start with 64 gigabytes of space in them. And that just, in this day and age, is not enough. You know, people should really have more. And it doesn't cost that much more for Apple to add it. They're just choosing not to.
Mm. And is there, what's the strategy behind that?
Frustrating me, I think, really. I don't know, though. You know, you could say Apple's being cheap, but the cost of extra storage is not that much. So it's really hard to tell what they're thinking. And people have asked. People have asked their executives before. And it's always kind of not really, put, you know, their answers are always very unsatisfying. And so I don't know what's in these executives' heads when they do it. They just continue to. And look, this is a company that's known for managing down to the penny. They will fight their vendors and the people who make stuff for them down to every last cent. So maybe it is about those couple of cents they're able to save, but it's really, it makes them look bad. And I think that's what a lot of people see when it, they know this stuff and they know what it costs and what it should be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that's well, again,
there's always something to criticize with this company. There's always something.
Yeah. As much as everybody loves Apple, there's always something to criticize.
There's always something.
And there are people who are full on. Are you one of those people who are full on Apple fanatics?
I don't think I qualify as a fan, but I do own a lot of Apple stuff. You know, I kind of, if you looked in my home, I you know, all the tech looks like I come from an Apple store. But, you know, I spent a lot of time at Reuters and at the Wall Street Journal and now here at CNET covering the company and covering it from, you know, both the good and the bad. And I think what's been really interesting is seeing how the kind of fanatical ways of Apple and a lot of the kind of the cult of Apple change over time, because it's different from what I remember 10 years ago during the Steve Jobs era. You know, people act toward this company very differently. And there are the hardcore fans of everything.
Yeah.
It's not like it used to be. I don't see people putting, you know, getting the tattoo of the Apple logo on their face anymore. That's not happening like it used to.
Not as often. Before we move on away from Apple, and in general, President Trump's trade war with China, the tariffs could hit Apple's AirPods and Apple Watch next. And how have these tariffs affected the tech world?
We can't really tell. We don't know how it's affecting them at all. You know, one of the things that we're aware of is that the phones and tablets and computers could be affected by the tariffs that were originally going to go into effect September 1st. And then they moved it over to December because they didn't want, you know, President Trump didn't want to hit the holiday shopping season and charge, you know, all of us extra money for these devices. So he moved the tariffs. And, you know, the thing that we can't tell really is how these prices are going to shake out. You know, Apple had their big event, right? They didn't raise prices on the iPhone or on the Apple Watch. And in fact, they lowered the price of one of the cheaper iPhones. It used to be $749 for the entry-level iPhone XR last year. This year, the iPhone 11 is $699. They lowered it by $50. So I think Apple's making a bet that the tariffs won't hit them in the end. And at the last minute, you know, someone's going to blink in this trade war will be over. Mm. But in the meantime, the prices haven't changed for you and me, the consumers. Someone's paying that difference. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. But they could hit the AirPods and the Apple Watch at some point. But at some point. Yeah. All right. So let's move on here. What's going on here? The Motorola Razr is back? It's back in the news?
Yeah. This thing is expected to be coming in later this year. You know, first off, the Motorola Razr was like an iconic device. Yeah. I mean, you think of all of the things that really changed the tech world.
Yeah.
The Razr came in 2004, 2005, and really changed everyone's view of things, partially because it was so thin. It was so small. And today it looks like it's huge. But back then it was a big deal how thin it was. And, you know, that's why they call it the Razr. And so now there's a patent out there for a phone that is basically a folding smartphone, right? So imagine your typical non-iPhone smartphone, but it's able to fold, very much like the Galaxy. You may know Samsung has this thing called the Galaxy Fold.
Right.
it had somewhat of a very rocky start.
Yes, it did. You know,
they were ready to sell it 1 week, and then they pulled it from store shelves because reviewers found that the fold part didn't do well. And now they're planning to come out soon again. But this is, instead of taking the Galaxy Fold, you know, it could be cool. It may not. I have no idea. But I'm interested to find out. And the very maybe this
is it going to look? Is the Razer going to look like the Razer used to look?
Yeah. So if you go to CNET and look at the patent that we have on our website, it looks like the Razer. It looks like the phone that you remember. So we'll see. You know, maybe it will. Maybe it won't. We haven't really seen the final device yet, but it seems like at least they're threatening with all these rumors to come out with something that looks like it came from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and that would be pretty cool.
That's pretty funny that, you know, everything goes around in a circle, Ian. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that the phones were getting smaller, now they're getting bigger, and, you know, the Razer was from, like, 15 years ago, and now a phone's going to look like a 15-year-old phone. It's so crazy how things change like that.
The bell bottoms are going to come back soon again, man.
Yeah, yeah. We can only hope. We can only hope. Did you ever have a Razer?
I did. I actually bought the second or third generation of it. I didn't buy the first one because it was A, very, very, very expensive, and B, I wasn't really convinced that it was going to be a thing. Like, it looked cool, but I didn't know whether it could back up its, you know, what it claimed to be. And back then, a lot of people didn't really care about their phones as much, right? Like, most of us had those Nokia candy shell bar version phones, right? And, you know, played Snake, and that's all you cared about. And, it's amazing how much the stuff has all changed.
You know, what's really crazy is I'm way behind on any kind of tech. I'm not on top of these things. This is why I like talking to you, Ian, so I can get, you know. But I didn't get my...
Is that what it is?
I didn't get my first cell phone. I didn't get my first cell phone until 2007.
Wow.
And I didn't get a smartphone until the end of 2009.
That's incredible. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And I had that. It was a flip phone. And then I finally had to upgrade to what I have to what I have now. But 2007, I had that flip phone for a long time, man. It's got a lot of memories.
Well, you know what? There are a lot of people who followed you. I mean, part of why the smartphone revolution happened the way it did, and if you look at the data, a lot of people started really buying the smartphones in 2010, 2011, because that's when it really hit overdrive. You know, that's when Apple kind of got a lot of the kinks out of the iPhone. It's when everything really started to take off. And also Google came out with the competitor to the iPhone that really kind of changed the game and allowed everyone who's not Apple to have software that looked good. And it's really interesting that all of those things, you were actually very much following the trend there.
You know what? I got to say, I made a mistake. I actually didn't get a smartphone until 2013. But I had an upgraded phone, so I didn't get a smartphone until in October of 2013. That's when I got my first smartphone.
You waited long enough.
I did. All right, Ian, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Ian Scherer is here, and we're talking tech, and we've got more tech stuff to talk about, and you can check him out at cnet.com. Follow him on Twitter at Ian Scherer. That's S-H-E-R-R. All right, so more with Ian and tech stuff right after this on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiCilio here on 720 WGN live in the WGN Skyline studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. It's Tuesday. That means two for Tuesday. Yeah, baby, two for Tuesday. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. That's also the number to call for talk and text. Right now, we are talking with Ian Scherer, editor-at-large, and covers the news at CNET.com. We talk tech stuff with Ian, and lots more to talk about. And let's get Ian back on. Ian, welcome back.
Hey, I have to say, your lead-in music I am loving. We could just listen to this all night long.
That's my producer, Tom Hush.
He is doing an awesome job picking out songs, let me tell you.
He does a very good job with that, absolutely, no question. All right, now... Listen, we've talked about 5G in the past and how everybody thinks they have it, but they don't. You know, and you see, there's a piece at CNET that gets rid of some of the 5G myths. Talk us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. A lot of the conversation around 5G, among other things, has been that this technology is supposed to be super fast, right? It's not just another G. It's supposed to be significantly faster self-service. It's supposed to be much more reliable. All really nifty things. But it's still slowly coming out. A lot of people think they have it, though, as we discussed in one of the past, is because a lot of people who have AT&T phones have a little thing that says 5GE on it. If you have AT&T, look for that right now. AT&T has actually been sued over that because people say that it's actually not the truth. It's actually 4G. But AT&T, of course, says, well, you know, it's kind of 5G. It's getting there, right?
So, kind of 5G.
It's amazing, right? But no, most of us do not have 5G phones. And trust me, if you would know if you did, you would have paid about $1,300 for one.
Yeah.
So today, one of the things that we're also finding is that there's a lot of myths about 5G. And one of them is actually really interesting, which is that it's going to replace 4G. So, you know, a lot of people think, you know, just like we went from 2G to 3G back in 2008, 2009, and then when we went to 4G in 2012, 2013, they replaced each other. This time around, 5G will not be doing that. One of the interesting things is that, you know, what's going to happen instead is that 5G is really designed for urban areas. So Chicago, San Francisco, New York, we're all going to get these really super fast 5G connections. But if you're out in the sticks, right, if you're out in the farmlands, you're probably going to be sticking to 4G, and that's okay, right? Part of the design here is that 5G is supposed to be able to offer you much faster connections, but when it's not running on 5G, which needs a lot of cell towers put together to work, then you'll still have reliable connection. So that's good. The other thing that's also happening is that I've gotten a lot of calls from people who are throughout cities that are getting 5G. There's a lot of extra cell towers being put up, and a lot of people are worried about cancer, right? This is something that I hear all the time. And, you know, never mind all of the research that says that it's perfectly safe. One of the things that people are now hearing on Facebook and whatnot is that 5G in particular is not safe. And, of course, there is zero evidence that says that. So, and we have links to all sorts of stuff on CNET to help you, so that's important to know as well.
Okay.
My other most important thing, the question, will your current phone get faster?
Right.
If you don't buy a 5G specific phone. And the answer is kind of yes. So because we're not getting rid of 4G, they're actually, you know, AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, they're all upgrading the connections for all their cell towers. And what's going to end up happening is if you don't have 5G, you're still going to get a slightly faster connection. You won't have the radios and the new technology in your phone that make it super fast, but you're going to get more reliable and much more trustworthy and all that type of stuff. Whereas, you know, a lot of the rumors going around is that all the companies can't wait to dump 4G, and so they're making it worse to force you to upgrade. That's not how it's going to work this year.
Oh, okay. All right. And all those myths about 5G are available in an article that you can read right out. It's available at CNET.com right now.
Yep.
So if you
want
to read all
that, I didn't mention, but yeah.
And like you said, there are links available for people to make it as easy as possible for them to check out what they're going to check out. So,
yes, exactly.
All right. A couple of entertainment things we want to get to. Disney Bedtime Hotline. This is kind of weird.
Yes.
So explain what this is.
Well, apparently it's not new entirely. So apparently a long time ago, they had this hotline you could call. And what would happen is that different Disney characters would basically wish you good night. And it was so popular that Disney's bringing it back now. And so the phone number, in case you want to write it down, is 1-877-7-MICKEY, right? M-I-C-K-E-Y, as we all know from the song.
Mm-hmm.
And you will get one of the popular Disney or Pixar or Marvel or Star Wars characters to wish you good night. So, for example, Yoda. I don't have a very good Yoda impression, but I'll just give you the quote. Feel the Force surround you, he says, like a blanket it is in your dreams, other people you will see. And so, you know, it's kind of cute, right? So, you know, it's going to be running from September 16th to September 30th. They've got Woody from Toy Story, Aladdin's Princess Jasmine, Elsa, of course, and Anna from Frozen, a bunch of other people. So that's pretty cool.
Is Tom Hanks doing the voice for real?
You know, I couldn't tell you for
okay.
sure.
I All
haven't
right.
heard the Woody one yet, but yeah. I know my fake Tom Hanks whenever I hear it, so I will let you know if I run across it.
Yeah, because these are some big, you know, there's some big names here that provide these voices. You know, I'm wondering how much they would charge to do this 1-877-7-Mickey automated voice directory thing.
Oh, I'm sure it's in their contract.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure that it was negotiated. But okay, so if people are interested in doing it, it's available now through September 30th. If you want to call 1-877-7-MICKEY, 1-877-7-MICKEY, you can get tucked in by somebody in the Disney canon.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'll tell you. You know, the technology. I'm telling you. All right, another entertainment thing. Seinfeld is going to be coming to Netflix. This was all over my news feed today. I mean, it's not till 2021. It was all over my news feed earlier today that Seinfeld is coming to Netflix.
Yeah, everyone likes a good yada 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 joke.
Yeah.
That's why, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think part of this is that you remember that conversation we had earlier about Apple Arcade,
yeah,
and the back catalog, right? And the idea that, you know, part of what Apple does not have that Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo do is this big back catalog of stuff they can basically give away with the service.
Right.
Netflix is in a very similar space. They don't have all this back catalog stuff. Like Disney, when they launched Disney Plus in November, they've got all these movies that we grew up with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all these characters we love. So Netflix is having to buy access to these things. And what's interesting is Netflix paid a lot of money. We don't know how much, but I'm willing to bet that it's not cheap to get Seinfeld starting in 2021. And right now, by the way, Seinfeld's on Hulu if you happen to be a big fan.
Yeah.
And you're like, ooh, I need to watch an episode.
Yep.
But, you know, we also know Netflix has been willing to spend a lot of money for Friends, right? They spend a lot of money to get it, and it's going to end at the end of this year. So if you like watching Friends on Netflix, start now. And then also The Office, right? Same thing. And what it really tells us, I think, is that even though there's all this new stuff, Stranger Things and Orange is the New Black and The Great British Break Off, which has new episodes and I'm loving it, that even though it has all that, people still want to watch the stuff that they remember. They love nostalgia.
Yeah.
And I think Netflix is realizing that, and that's why they're willing to spend to have some Seinfeld in their lives.
It's, you know, the weird thing about it is, though, it's not that it's hard to watch Seinfeld. It's not like it's difficult to find it, because I could literally watch it four or five times a day just on my cable system.
Well, yes, but you just said the magic word of why this is happening. You said cable. And let me tell you how many people are cutting the cord. And part of the reason we're seeing these streaming wars heat up, as we call them on CNET,
is that
really the trend is going hard toward people ditching their cable.
Mm.
And it is becoming a serious thing. And so, yeah, there are people who still have cable who you could trip over a rock and hit a Seinfeld episode or a Law & Order episode too, right? Every time I'm in a hotel, I just turn on the television. There's Law & Order, puts me to sleep.
Yep.
I love it, though. But, you know, that is part of the cable world. And that is rapidly going away.
All right, Ian, I appreciate it. And everybody can check you out at CNET.com. You can follow on Twitter at Ian Scherr, S-H-E-R-R, and keep up with everything at CNET. And Ian, we'll talk to you again in a month.
Absolutely. Take care.
Okay, buddy. Take care. Ian Scherr, everybody. He's our tech guy. Go to CNET.com and check him out there. All right, we'll take a break here for the news on 720 WGN.